We are out of executive session and no action was taken. So I don't see all the departments here yet. Fire was supposed to be first, but next was, I'm sorry, what? The chief's car is out there? Okay, well, we're not locked into this order, so we will have youth first. That's you, Liz. Come on, yeah, you can stand there. Well, this is new, so it's you're setting the standard. Pictures are good.
Dyer. She's a drone performer.
Okay.
Erin Dyer. She's in the bike community, really renowned. She's like a great asset to have, an amazing mechanic. She set up a whole crew to work in there with the kids. They're working on either fixing bikes that are just like need a little repair, or completely assembling bikes to make their own bikes. Kids are signing up for camp. They do 3 days, and they have to clock a certain amount of hours to earn the bike that they're working on, and then afterwards they get to take that bike, and then it's their bike to keep. We're also working with Public Police Department to help make sure that all the bikes we give out are registered, so that none of the kids end up with an unregistered bike getting hassled on the street for something they didn't know about. So it's also going to be open to kids not in camp on Thursdays from 3 to 6, and my understanding is that that is a drop-in and not a sign-up, so if you've got anyone in the community who's interested in building a bike or learning bike mechanics, that's available. And there's also a bike tool tower outside the shop, so if the shop is closed, you can have it for repairs on some data that's available. So. Then, no pictures for these, but Calvin started as our assistant director. He is fitting in with the team we have really well, and he's become really active in the day-to-day at camp. He's out there helping support in the pods, moving around, meeting all the kids, and he's doing a lot of direct mentoring and training for our rec attendants. So they'll come in, they'll see like a rec attendant manage the situation, and they give them feedback on what they did well and what they can improve on next time when he's not listening out on the kids, which is really cool. And the last thing I have, you'll notice today there's a resolution to transfer some money. We got money for the concession personnel, but while we were planning, we were in the midst of COVID, and it didn't seem logistically safe to have concession stand open. And so since we don't have concession personnel, we'd like to transfer that money into lifeguard personnel so that we can extend the hours of the lifeguard this season so that we can be open to the public. And
thank you. Mm-hmm. Questions from the council? Anyone?
Liz, do we have any campers from outside the city?
Can you speak louder, Dominic? We can't.
Liz, do we have any campers from outside the city?
We have a couple of campers who recently moved outside the city and are still attending camp. But not a lot of outside the city.
There's currently no way you missed right now.
So we closed, registration is closed, and everybody from the waiting list was moved into the accepted. So everybody who registered and then that timeline is in camp. The only other exception we're making is some parents accidentally registered only like one or two of their kids and not all of their kids. So if a family already has some kids registered, go on and fill out the paperwork to have the rest of their kids come as well.
Any other questions from the council? Malachi?
Just make sure you tell Calvin we miss him already. But he's going to be good anywhere he goes because he is. He's going to be good.
Yeah, I'm excited to have him on the team, so thank you. Great.
Questions, comments from the audience? Maya, do you have anything to add?
I do.
Okay. Thank you, Liz.
Thanks,
Robin. No need to apologize for that.
What's that?
No need to apologize for that.
But as you know, we're updating the charter so that the senior center can be separate from the youth department. So we're hoping that that's next meeting, right?
Oh, yeah, we introduced it, so we can, yes. We can do it next week.
It was introduced last time.
Right.
Yeah, so we're just waiting for that. So we've kind of put our programs on hold. The only two that are currently running are our waterfront aerobics class, and that's because that's been going for 30 years, so we're prioritizing. And then also our virtual yoga class. They decided to go earlier, and now their attendance is back up to about 20, 25 people going. So we're maintaining those two, but we've cut back on the other ones until we can be our own department and have things go in a more streamlined fashion. So
any
updates, we're just waiting for that
procedural
piece to go through. Any questions? Any
charter itself have to go to the voters to be amended?
Not this kind of amendment, no.
Okay.
One of the things in the amendment is to separate the permits, but it also changes my role in the charter. If you look at the charter now, it really has me just calling the mayor on Tuesdays and giving him my ideas about what he should do. But this will be more formalized and clearly outlined as the other commissioners are in terms of the hiring and firing and specific guidelines.
Currently, we're only department when I'm a department head, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Us being able to hire someone through the face.
Any other questions from the public?
And if anyone has concerns or questions around the separation of the departments, we're happy to answer those either here or either if anybody wants to chat to you.
Thank you, Robin.
Sure. Thank you.
Heather.
The only one left.
For now, yeah, I don't know where they are.
They're on the
way. Okay. Oh, yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. I think that's what she asked for. Or maybe she had senior services as well.
Okay. So AIM and ARPA, that's the title. There's only one A in AIM. For those of you who don't remember or from the Food Finance Committee, when the pandemic hit, New York State was only issuing partial AIM payments. We get about $1.5 million a year. By the end of the year, we had received 95% of it. There was still 5% outstanding. It was unclear whether or not we were going to get it. We did get it.
Nice.
So that's a good thing. That's about $73,000.
Good news.
I submitted the ARPA request for funds on 6/22. And so we got the official notice that it was received and approved. So we're going to get a total payment of $620,235. First half that's going to be paid in summer of 2021. The second half will be paid in summer of 2022. And then the next step is there's about a 35-page document that's been issued by the U.S. Treasury that's talking about reporting and compliance things. So next thing is going to be scouring through that and making sure we know what we have to do. Reporting. We had the auditors in last week. They're going to come back probably last week of July. We are targeting the end of August, beginning of September for the audit, which is well within the time frame that we have to meet. So we're feeling good about that, especially because it's the second year that these auditors have worked on the account. So last year it was a big heavy lift because we had to provide basically all the information brand new to a new auditor. So they'll have things like, you know, debt service schedules and things like that that won't have to be repeated. So borrowing, we did close on our ban, a little over $3 million on July 25th. As a reminder, and for some of the new folk, that's gonna fund the balance of the money for our new ladder truck, which is due delivery in somewhere in August, I think, at this point in time. It's going to a show first and then coming here. It's going to fund a WQIP, which is a water quality improvement project, and WIA, which is water infrastructure improvement. That's water and sewer projects, and it's going to fund the, both of those projects had grants, and this will fund the city's match of those grants. And then the last thing is to provide the money for Promenade Park work, which is starting soon. We'll have started, and construction will begin soon.
And that part's refundable.
Pardon me?
And that part's reimbursable.
And that part's fully reimbursable, which is why we're doing a ban, which is a bond anticipation note, as opposed to a bond. So a ban is something you can sort of renew every year for about 5 years in a row, and then whatever's left, because there will be monies that need to be put into debt long-term, the balance of the fire truck and the WIA and the monies. So, you know, one of the big issues right now is the turnaround time on getting the DRI monies returned. They seem to, and I don't know if they're doing it on purpose or not, but they seem to keep finding issues with the submissions that the city is putting in order to get the reimbursed. So I think the first one took us about 5 months to get. So I think they're probably doing a little bit of cash flow management there. The borrowing went really well. We got 8 bids. Last time we went out to market, we only got 3, I think. We got a winning bid at an interest rate of 1%, but a net interest rate of 0.29%, because basically they're charging 1%, but then they're providing what's called a premium, and so the premium gets set aside so that we can use it to pay off the full amount of interest. Weirdly complicated, but net-net, with that, we're only going to be paying about $9,000 in interest for the first year on that money, which is pretty amazing. We have been talking about the second round of borrowing at the end of this year. At this point, I think it's more likely that we're going to move to early 2022, and that's based on the project schedule for Hudson Connects, which is all the sidewalks and pedestrian things that are happening down in the waterfront in the BRI district. We just basically had a pretty decent timeline on that project line a few weeks ago, and it looks like construction is going to start in like April of 2022. So we'll probably push that off there, which also means we get to push off one more year of interest payments for the second borrowing to 2023, which doesn't hurt. Couple resolutions. Unfortunately, I didn't have time to get them for the informal, but ones that the BEA have talked about is getting an additional part-time cleaner for the senior center. They used to have one. The person left. They tried splitting the city hall cleaner between city hall and the senior center. I can say with great certainty, things are not getting as clean as they need to be. And we've had a lot of complaints about it, and it may be even coming to a health issue. So this is an important thing. I can get you pictures. I can get you pictures of the mold that's growing on the floor in the bathroom over there.
I would like to know why did it take so long to seek extra help.
Yeah, part of it was that City Hall and the Senior Center group was closed, so it wasn't as obvious. But
nobody know what was coming in to those.
I've been working with Doreen at HPD to calculate the retro 1.5% raise for HPD. Ridiculously complicated. You wouldn't think it would be. You've got people getting step increases on longevities, sometimes halfway through one pay period. So literally, we have to, in some cases, go almost day by day. But we're going to get it done. We're about halfway done at this point, and we'll get it done, and you'll have that for next week. And then just a really weird random one-off is there's going to be a tax write-off for a parcel that the city owns, and this happens every so often. There's just somehow it ends up getting a tax bill. This is from back in 2008, so when we find them, we try and clean them up. So that will be the third one. We've been talking about the Office of State Controller's correct action plan on a couple of issues, primarily the accruals. Obviously, with COVID and all of that, we got off to a pretty late start, but we actually have a meeting. Tracy and I are going to be meeting, I think, Thursday of this week to start putting a proposed recommendation together in terms of an accrual policy and some of the other things that are in that report. Compliance. It's funny, Tom sent me an email saying he'd like an update on compliance literally 5 minutes after I sent an email to the lodging board saying, hey, I thought you guys were sending out those notices. Turns out they had not yet, so I talked to him this evening, and that's going to go out immediately, basically. So by our next meeting, we should have a good understanding of what the response is in terms of those letters that are going out. Mm-hmm. I scanned the list. I know a couple at least just I know personally looking at them that they're outdated. Like I know one person who doesn't live in that house anymore and doesn't live in Hudson anymore. So probably we'll get some returns, you know, and things like that, but they'll still give us a pretty good idea. And just as an FYI, I thought this was an interesting, and we can look at this on a monthly basis. Literally in the entire month of June, there were only two new properties that were added as being non-compliant. So it's a pretty good number. When they did the initial review, they basically said, we don't really have a significant compliance problem, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't be keeping an eye on it nonetheless. Okay, and then just some of the things that we look at in terms of revenues. We are 50% through the year. These are the numbers through June. So again, we're seeing a pretty much a consistent pattern with how it's been throughout the year. Parking and permits and parking tickets are performing well. On off-street parking is a little light, but again, that's a timing issue sometimes because it's literally buckets of quarters that get collected and then have to be counted and then brought to the banks. You know, pretty labor intensive, so they tend to sometimes get built up. And then again, for the municipal lot, that's where we're taking the big hit. It will be interesting to see, you know, as corporations are determining how they're going to handle work from home versus back to the office, if that number picks up. And then if you just want to flip the page, so that one is the first one for those of you who are new, that one is versus the total actual budget. And then what I've been doing is doing a comparison year to date through year to date. So you can see that on and off street parking is down from municipal logs down significantly, but parking and other permits and parking tickets are up versus where we were through June in 2020. And then building permits and fees, we're looking good versus the budget. We are basically at 80%, over 50% of the year in, and I expect that number to continue. I think we're going to blow out those numbers. And again, you can see, if you look at it just year to date, we're at 175% of where we were. Not surprising, because remember, a year ago was like in major midst of COVID, and people weren't allowed to do any construction or anything, so that makes sense. It'd be interesting, actually, to go look at it against 2019 and see. I mean, I'll do that for next month, because that'd be interesting.
Thank you.
What I got?
Questions from the council? Raise your hand. Oh, Rebecca.
Yeah, and I just wanted to point out, I mean, to me, 42 non-compliant properties seems significant. I think that's a significant number. And then also just that, you know, the sunset period will end in December, and I think at that point, compliance could easily become a much bigger issue.
Yeah, I think that's an excellent point, yeah.
Ryan?
When was the NIPA bill?
I'm sorry, the what?
NIPA bill for the street lights. That's 2019 or 2020
pre-COVID? It actually hasn't been technically. There was a resolution in place, I believe, to authorize the mayor to sign the agreement.
Okay.
But it turns out that that was premature because it's a relatively complicated project.
Yeah.
From what I understand and remember, basically, the city has to make a commitment to do the study, which gets rolled into the project cost if we go forward with it. But if we don't go forward with it, the city's on the hook for that, and the estimate for that was about $100,000 to $150,000. The second component is that, like anything, that's they offer financing, but well, not only is it expensive, actually, no, it's a I think everybody thinks it's a good project. It breaks even in less than 10 years. But because it's financing, it has to be competitive. It's not competitive in the project, but in terms of going out and financing. You can't just go to one person and they say, hey, we'll give you some money, and then you take it. You can't do that legally. So that would be the other issue, is just, you know, seeing where our best option is. Mm-hmm. Right now, obviously, with the rates on the market, right, you know, going out, the market would be a much, much better deal than what they were offering us, something like 1.5%.
So the second question is, does anything change with what the estimated project was for that, given the cost of materials that have gone up to be able to actually build the instrument for the lights?
I don't know. But I can reach out to them before to get an update.
Yeah, I'm just curious if they're saying like there's like an X percent increase for any municipalities before right now.
Yeah, the estimate they gave was very, as they said, it was very broad, and they thought very there was also an issue in terms of you can only borrow money for what's called the useful life of whatever it is. And so we spent a bunch of time, because they kept saying they're good for 15 years, and we kept trying to get something in writing saying that this was the life expectancy, and we couldn't get it. So that's going to dictate just how long we can borrow and pay back.
Anyone else on the council? Public? Questions or comments? Thank you very much, Heather.
Thank you.
Next up is Rob Perry as he rockets in.
Okay, so we did put out some sense of motive to Tracy.
Yep.
I don't know if you wanted a whole pack for everybody, but I'll just give it out next time. Anyway, starting with the sewer department, May septage was $35,000. That's what we planned for on a monthly basis in the budget, so it was a pretty standard month. Just so you're aware, the pump station contracts are completed, construction is done. We did have a contractor issue us a credit for $35,000. Based on, without going into a whole lot of detail, contractor bids each item, how much they're going to use, and if they buy, say they're going to use 500 feet of pipe, they have to show us receipts for 500 feet of pipe. They show us 400 feet, we don't pay them for 400 feet. They don't get to keep the difference. So that was, you know, that was nice to come up with at the end. We also, switching to water, you know, there's, just because of, and I'll get into a little bit more, but there's two massive components of our water system. There's the collection, it's where we get it out in New Forge, out in, you know, Copake Lake, and all that water that goes in to a pipe, and then that pipe feeds the reservoir, and then that reservoir comes and feeds here. So there's 15 miles of pipe out in the country, literally in the middle of the woods, under the parkway, through the hills, you know. And so, you know, when things happen out there, they have different impacts on our ability to make water, but they don't have anything to do at all with water quality in the city. That is strictly a factor of, because once it goes through the plant and it's in the tank, you know, anything else would have to be addressed, you know, have to take place in the city to affect it, not outside of the country. But what I did show is, you know, this is pretty nasty brown, you know, cocoa water. That's what we're taking out of the reservoir and throwing it into a backwash tank, which then goes and gets treated at the sewer plant. So that's why the water that comes out of your faucet doesn't look always some brown and nasty like that. We did get our PFOA and PFOS. We're required, as every water supplier in the country is required to do now, a sample. We obviously, the MCL, which is the maximum contaminant level, is 10 nanograms per liter. And 2 is as sensitive as the test can go, and we were below 2. So we're effectively in non-detect. That is not surprising at all. PFOA, PFOS, really 99.9% of the time are going to be in groundwater, not surface water. Newburgh, obviously, is the anomaly, and they're an anomaly because there's an airport at the end, and the Air National Guard were doing also a fire test for the retardant stuff, and it was that retardant for the airplanes that had PFOA and PFOS in it, and so it's washed into their reservoir, was at the end of the runway, and we go from there. So anyway, not surprising, but you know, we're required to do it anyway. All right, so the big water thing of last month was, you know, the missing pig, and it's still missing. We're pretty sure we have, you know, where it is. We're going to do some more inspections to try and figure out exactly where, but, you know, just have some pictures showing, you know, Greenport and Lomas, they're front a trailer over the camera. Was able to go 500 feet in either direction, weren't able to find it. We did actually end up, picture 3 just shows one of the pits where the pig should have popped out, but it didn't. And this one's out in Clawbrick. You know, from that point, we just located out, and we did another excavation 500 feet away to try and expand our reach and get closer to the creek and the pump station. And we didn't find anything there, so we put it back together. So, just this is what a pig looks like, the little blue guy. And it has all these bristles on the side of it. And as it goes through the main, it actually twists and it scrapes. The reason we do that is because the mains are 120 years old. It'll build cast iron, water reacts to cast iron and makes rust. It's going to go anywhere else. So if we didn't do that, then each year the rust would build up a little bit more, and you know, 120 years later, we'd have a transmission main would be this big instead of 16 inches. So that's why we do it. And what we believe happened is, and it's just kind of a rough sketch, the new T's are literally, the T comes out at a 90 degree angle, and we believe that, and this one had like a sweep, and we think it just slipped up in a sweep. But that's where we are at. So I have just pictures of the process of sending the swab through, you know, with the radio transmitter in it. We pushed it through, it came up, the pig didn't come up, so that was a thing that we tried. But what we did realize is that we had adequate flow, and picture 13 just shows how to flow at the plant, so we were down to 800,000 gallons, that is not good. So at that point, we just put everything back together, fired the plant up, and focused on rebuilding the plant, and which we did. Actually, picture 15, the water coming out, through the overflow. And then as soon as that happened, we turned the plant off again, because after pipe cleaning, there's a lot of debris that still gets put in suspension. So there's a large valve in the basement, the PRV, which we have to take apart and squeeze inside of it. But that's it. So next thing is the T that we would need to replace the one that's in the ground has got a huge lead time. It's probably not going to be until the end of August. We're getting full flow, so you know we're not extremely concerned about it. But we are going to do some tests in one of the pump station itself. Maybe get a little fiber optic camera in there to try and see if we can't know exactly or identify places that it still might be, but that those spaces are very limited. You know, you're talking about a difference of 20 feet. just bringing the DPW stuff, you know, the money last left the top of the arch, these are the split units that were down at the Chamber of Commerce, and they, you know, they were kind of beat up when they installed them 10 years ago, and then they just got beat up being down there. And so anyway, the new one's on the wall, it's in place. So that's, you know, basically done. There's a couple more units inside that have to be installed. Just, you know, basically some other buildings. This is a Dunn warehouse. I know the Congress, there's DRI money for it and everything, but just to give you an idea, I mean, the whole structure for the door is basically coming down on itself. So, you know, we were able to pick it up with a loader, but, you know, at some point that building's going to need attention, more attention than we've already given it for a long time. So, RFPs, notice that were in place. These are over on Columbia Street and Park Place. This one, because of the proximity to the tracks and some other utility conflicts, we actually have a remote button that's up by the crosswalk, and then the signal is down further, but it also will, this is a remote one, we'll do this one across the street, the Citgo station too. So that's in place, and just a picture of the base, some of the infrastructure that goes inside of it. You know, there's people are surprised when they hear that they're almost $6,000 each. There's a bit of technology, the solar panels, the lights, there's a lot of steel. So, and they're pretty big, you know, they're 16 feet overall. We moved some of the barriers. I don't know if you noticed the barriers that are on Warren Street, if anybody's seen them, but we've moved some of them around. So people that said they didn't want them, people said they did, so we did do that.
Yeah. Yes, we do.
Bought and paid for it. We're going to make a nice little Lego house out of it as well. So. What's that?
Sorry, it's a love plan.
Anyway, other seasonal stuff we're finally catching up. So, painting. This is over by the post office, I believe. Handicaps, mm-hmm. curb spots. Also, getting back to you know patching. So these were, I think this is around Columbia North Second Street. You know, finishing up some restoration, some repairs. Yeah, give you a draft that we're looking for the 2021 paving project. And you know, there's some long runs. There's some heavy runs of material. So we want to make sure that we. You know, that we can do what we plan to do. We're also going to expand, because if you've been through Catskill, DOT paved the state road that goes through it, and instead of stopping at the curb, they did these really long rebates that went 10, 15 feet up into the other streets, and by doing that, it covered the whole, it caught the sidewalk that was back, And because that was within the scope, then you were able to use the money to make it, put ADA ramps in, do crosswalks, do. So, you know, we're going to be, that's something that other municipalities, so we're reaching out to other municipalities, but we're going to expand what we've been doing previously, so that way we can add more of the ADA stuff. But I will remind everybody that this is a highlight money, so the roads actually should be in disrepair. We don't typically do new roads or decent roads. In preparation for the, we do a lot of infrastructure repair, so this is just the one manhole that's on Columbia Street, and they have to knock down a couple courses, rebuild with concrete and block, put a new rim on it, pour concrete around that, and then blacktop on it. So there's a lot of work that has to be done in advance. And just make sure I'm keeping up with this stuff. Just some maintenance, you know, 7th Street Park. I don't believe the fountain is, I think the fountain's finally shot. So I don't know. I mean, we could get a one that floats on the water that's used, a swimming pool place sells it. That's something we want. I mean, you know, somebody's got to, I mean, they're a couple thousand dollars. It's not going to be like, you know, anything majestic, but the motor and the pumps are shot. So that's why you don't see any of that this year. Other work in the 7th Street Park is, you know, get some vandalism up at the top of the lights. How does that happen? Well, because people shimmy up and they pull the guts out so that when the light turns off, because the light, you know, they don't want to have the light on in the park. So, Prominent Hill stuff, if you've seen, you know, it looks like a big dirt pile. Most of what's going on is just building the foundations for the walls and the ramps, and there's just a lot of, you know, really site prep work that's going on. I know, you know, the finished stuff is still months away, but that's what's going on. Cages and sonotubes are in place for the new lights placement, so that's moving along. And just some Lab Day stuff, you know, just to remind everybody when these events happen that they will be happening now that happening again. You know, there's a lot of, there's dump trucks that we have to put out. I mean, we put hundreds of signs out, you know, dozens of extra garbage cans around. They have to go out the day before, and they have to be dumped and take down the day after. So, it, you know, it is a costly thing. I think we ran the numbers a couple of years ago, like $3,500 worth of overtime and materials for Flag Day. Probably just maybe half that. But, you know, it's just, I get it, I mean, it's community-based stuff, so it's fine, but there is a cost associated with it. Just as the after Flag Day, you know, the bathrooms are kind of all mussed up, and, you know, the grounds are pretty mussed up, and then we go through and pick everything up and clean it all up, and it's another day. The Firemen's Association has a little big truck event for the kids, FASME did, so we sent over some sweeper garbage truck things. It was a couple hour event over there, and so I just
like stretching it out. How often does it happen at 7th Street Park for the time of the lights off?
That and, you know, probably a couple times a year. Probably to help too. Except now it's been soft, there's no lights on anyway. So. Ferry Street Bridge, we actually finished this up this afternoon, and after I did that, we actually received comments from DOT. Anyway, CSX gave us comments last month, Amtrak gave us comments this past month, and DOT's comments I just received half time ago. So we'll see what they all say.
Questions from the council? Rebecca.
It's the quarry that's on the backside of Calarusso's. It was the old Lone Star Cement. It was purchased by the city in 1969-ish or something like that. The city already had a pump station down by the Clover Creek, which was designed to either mechanically draw more water from the reservoir or draw water from the creek, which would have been filthy disgusting considering it was 200 head of dairy cow just up the stream. But then when they purchased, that was built in the 40s, and when they purchased the quarry, they ran pipe up and along the ground, and then they put like some connections up near the edge of the quarry. There's pipe up there, the condition of that pipe, I mean, it's been empty for 50 years. It's not like the The pumps were upgraded when they built the new water plant in 2005, but outside of their general test, they're 200 horsepower pumps. So, I mean, the lights are going to dim when they turn on. And the second thing is, you know, if you don't want to run it again, it's a 120-year-old water main, so you can't throttle this massive pump. It's designed to be 3 million gallons a day. So, you know, there's a real chance that if we fire these pumps up, that we could turn 2 miles of our raw water transmission main into a sprinkler. So, you know, it's there. Nobody alive has ever used it. You know, it's theoretical. I mean, we know theoretically what's supposed to and how it works, but
well, what about the point? Theoretically, since we don't own the actual land or what up, right?
Well, we own it. We just lease it.
Well, there's something to lease it.
Lease to own, yeah. $7 million over 40 years.
Right, so eventually, the Coors will eventually own that. So in the near term, if we want to improve that backup system.
The best thing to do is an interconnection with Greenport. Okay. I mean, Greenport's transmission main goes right through Tenbrook. It's a couple hundred feet from our finished water tank. Our finished water tank could send water to their system if they needed it. Their transmission main could send water to our tank. Because right now, even if we have a backup water supply in Claverick, there's a water main break on 23B in front of the county highway garage. There's no backup. If there's a fire or some catastrophe at the water plant, there's no backup. So, I mean, we could do, you know, we could pony, you know, these hydrants together like we talked about doing with Greenport, and they agreed to do with us. But, you know, that's a messy process. You know, we'd like to have a cleaning process and something that's mutually beneficial to both municipalities and certainly something that's seamless. I mean, literally, it would be an issue of turning a couple valves with a jockey pump to, you know, make their tanks are a little higher. Their tanks are like 10 feet or 15 feet lower than ours. So without a pump, our tank would drain and there's a fire. So that would be desirable.
So are you saying that the secondary, what is our secondary water source, was at one time the primary water source?
It was never used as a water source. It was just a quarry, mm-hmm. And then when the cement company went out of business, they turned their pumps out and it filled up with water. The water quality is fine. It's just getting it here would be challenging.
So there really isn't a second. I mean, there isn't a workable deficit.
Well, I mean, we'll figure it out. I mean, but it's not desirable, I can tell you that.
So we should be planning for it.
Yeah, we should be looking for something else.
Questions from the council? Other councilmen? Members? Questions from, Malachi, go ahead.
Yeah, I go, my question is kind of, you know, off topic. Hope you don't get the chief to arrest me or anything for harassment. It seems like I've been harassing you for a while, obviously.
I know what harassment feels like. But you're not doing it.
Okay, that's good, thank you. But just a question. If we were to put the poles down there on cement down here, would we need to remove the poles if we were going to do a leveling out of the...
Yeah, you'd have to pull them back out.
Okay.
Cool. Otherwise, one's going to be shorter than the other. You know what I'm saying? Once you level the pad on the wind spark. Right.
So it would probably be in the best interest to level it first before putting the poles in?
Yeah, I mean, otherwise, like I said, we'd have to take it out and then put it back in again.
Okay. Who are we talking about? We're talking about the basketball court at Charles Williams Park. Any other questions from the public? Okay. Thank you, sir. Next up, Chief. Yes, you are, sir.
Boy, Rob really knows how to warm up an audience. So, apologies. I have only made 6 copies of what I'm about to present, so I will make more if we can share. I'm just used to 6 in the original from the committee meeting, so that's my fault. But if Dave has some, Lieutenant Miller has some extra copies that we can distribute.
Yeah. Everybody's following Rob now with color photos. Money. Money. Oh, wow. That's a good spot.
Fred is rolling. The right at the top, the first part of the agenda is mandatory reporting by the police department. And what we call Section 9 reporting, which has to do with use of force by your police officer. We report monthly, so this is a monthly report. In the month of June, we've had a pretty good month for the police department overall, and I'll explain. In the month of June, we had one use of force incident. That's where an officer has to physically restrain someone to effect an arrest. There was no officer interventions where an officer was using excessive force. We made 39 arrests and charged with 55 associated charges. We had 11 instances of emotionally disturbed people, and we had 2 cases involving drug overdoses. The drug overdoses in June, on June 13th, a 31-year-old female was saved by Narcan. On June 27th, the 40-year-old female was saved, and I think that incident also involved use of CPR. So we're very happy with that. The next report is our quarterly vehicle and traffic report. Now, this is what you had asked about, Mr. President.
Yes.
So what happened was we tried to correlate race and gender location to vehicle and traffic stops as a barometer of any unfair policing or any kind of biased policing. So we broke the numbers out for the quarter, and it shows that the first, you see page 101, there's a bar graph. It shows that amongst females, there were 55 females stopped given tickets over the quarter, of which you can see the racial breakdown. 39 Caucasian, 7 Asian, 8 Black, 1 other. And then the breakdown for males is 117 citations, individuals cited, and 97 were Caucasian, 13 Black, 1 Asian, 6 other. And then attached to that report is the rather lengthy, and I won't go through it, but the rather lengthy exactly what charges were specified. So it's exciting to read about inspection stickers and pump tests and stuff like that. So
it's amazingly thorough, Chief.
It's pretty good. It was close to a computer, you know? Mm-hmm. And Lieutenant Miller put those figures together. So. But what's the bottom line of that report is there's nothing that I can see that's indicative of some kind of discriminatory enforcement, and that's where we want to look, is the traffic enforcement. Yes?
This is very good information. I know this is the type of information that's been requested over the years. I don't know if you have this tonight, but if you don't, could we receive the same type of information with other arrests and things of that nature that you deal with in the police department as far as...
Yeah, this was pursuant to the resolution, that's right, and the directive. So you want to break down by penal arrests?
I'm requesting for a breakdown of all, well, which would be domestic disputes, it could be whatever arrest that I can't think of right now, but
that's
your job.
Categorize penal arrests and crimes.
All of the crimes, non-criminal, everything that you deal with. so we all have an understanding of the breakdown of race and gender, so we would know. And then it would be extremely helpful if you can put down wards.
By ward? Okay, there is a location on the traffic. Was the UCR turn down?
And it took about 4 months to generate what that needed in the resolution. For what you're asking would take, that would take some time.
But that's why when the president asked for the report last quarter, we were a little nervous because we weren't able to produce it. Right. So it would just take us a while to do computer categories.
Yeah, the computer's not smart enough to know, well, it's not programmed to know Ward 1, 2, 3, 4.
You got to do it yourself.
Also, I'll look at the uniform crime report, which we report to the FBI, and see if there's a racial breakdown. But we'll get it done.
Thank you.
Well, I think the idea of doing traffic was that there was a higher number to work with, correct? I mean, if you break it down into categories such as, what were some of the things here? Stolen firearms. You know, you can't really come up with much of a profile of the racial profile because there aren't that many to include. Ryan, yes.
So moving forward, not to make historic work, though, what would be helpful is if we're making the chronology between the felony and the misdemeanor stuff, can we see what it was month to month and year over year as well? If this is a new process that you're doing, because this way you will see the seasonality of some of these things as well, and that's how we can try to get a little more preventative collectively.
Yeah. It's a matter of the writing of computer program. The penal law number, the arrest number would be a much smaller number.
Yep.
So it might be more manageable.
Right. But I would argue for this, at least I would be specifically looking. I mean, yes, there are issues with the traffic incidences, but the magnitude of these crimes.
Maybe you and I have to meet anyway. Perhaps you can come by over the next month and we can catch up.
Yeah, Section 9 reporting. That's Section 9 reporting, and that's
the first one, yeah.
Yep, Section 9 reporting has been done since the mayor's quarter back in June, so there will be one of them for each month since over a year now.
Right.
Chief, so we can meet our new council member?
Yes. He's helping me on a project.
Oh, okay.
Good. Are we good with that? Thank you. Okay, next. On June 11th, we had a significant arrest at Hudson Terrace Apartments, involving four youths with a weapons patch. Active on this thing. We met with the management at HTA to say, what can we do together to improve the quality of life? For example, the last 18 months, we're averaging a call at HTA about every other day, so about 200 and something. Usually quality of life things, usually nothing, this serious, this significant. So we met with the management, and there's different ideas going on. For example, I just saw on TV, Mars is like 40 million miles away, and I have a perfect video image of Mars. I can see the dust on the rocks. But the video images from HTA, it's like the Sasquatch, so you can't see anything, it's blurry. And we need to improve the video down there. There was instances where trees were growing in front of the key video cameras. There has to be a delineation what officers can enforce down there and what are the tenant's rights, because sometimes the lines are gray and a person sit on their front porch and smoke or have a beer, or is that an enforceable action? But we, HPD goes down there to usually engage with loud music, some kind of disturbance, but I want everyone to know that we're actively meeting with the management down there to try to improve the life, quality of life for the people down there.
Chief, is that their video equipment or ours?
Yes, sir.
So when you say to improve the life and quality, you're talking about solely video?
No, there's everything. There's, for example, the mayor and our commissioner and Amy got together. There's additional foot patrols down there for a higher police presence, and that's all recorded on a daily basis. Video is just one component.
Is your body cam being recorded?
All the time, yeah. And so that's just one of the ideas that was kicking around at the meeting. And we'll have subsequent meetings to try to actively work on it.
Well, may I suggest And it's good that you and the mayor are communicating that this is an unfortunate incident, and luckily the children were not hurt. But I would suggest, Chief, Mayor, maybe start attending some of the meetings that happen around the city with different complexes, such as Bliss Towers, which is a public meeting, but you can also, it's a public building, so you can have meetings, for example, with the tenants of the terraces. It's a big complex down there. They have laundry rooms and such, but they do not have a community room. So where can you get the feedback from the tenants? I talked to a lot of the members of the residents there, and they do not have a good communication with the office. So I would suggest reaching out to the tenants, maybe setting up a meeting in Bliss Towers, getting some feedback from the residents, and hear the security, the check-ins that they would like, you know, maybe get an idea of the time frame that they would want to see the patrol walking around, you know. It's good that you're doing it, but maybe they want to see it at a different time that you all are there. I would suggest that maybe throughout the entire city, through all the wards that, you know, different complexes that have community centers, community rooms, just to get a feedback from the actual residents and not just the representatives. So we don't need to hear from everyone.
Yeah, I just wanted
to
second that. And I spoke with the management of the terraces, and they were talking about having, you know, communication, like better communication with the police department, and I suggested that some kind of tenant liaison or like a, you know, person who's a resident who can be directly.
Yeah, we are. We're going to establish a liaison with the HTA, and we've also scheduled more meetings with them. So we'll be more of a presence down there.
They need a tenant association with this.
Well, that would be ideal. But meanwhile, you know, that's not recognized. Just like a liaison person or several people, mm-hmm. a committee that can interact directly with whoever is the designated, you know, police representative.
It is a large complex to the residents. It's still, it's still as one, but for us, it's two separate wards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we are down there quite often. Like I said, we looked at 18 months, and we're averaging something down there about every other day.
Well, it sounded like there was a little bit of a question of, you know, is the office calling you or are residents calling you? And how does that break down? Like if the office is making the calls,
we do, I think we have a high instance of response. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we'll talk about all these things.
Do you want to continue, Chief?
Thank you. Item number four, on June 29th, we opened the state-of-the-art use of force simulator room at Columbia Green Community College. It's part of a $20 million capital expansion at the college. And what this is, it's a room about this size, it's high tech, and officers trained in there with actual firearms and video of different use of force instances. It's quite something. It's a tense room, and it's a way of training officers when they can use deadly physical force or not use it. It's a marvelous aid. There's nothing like this in the area. Bill DeLuca was out there, they unveiled it, and it might even have a chance for some of our elected officials to go out and get a tour of it and use it. It's not a video game, it's a really simulated, very interesting thing. And I think I don't know how much it costs, but it was obviously a very expensive investment. But it dovetails to number five, which also on that day I had a meeting with President Drummer and Provost Timmons. And what they're trying to do is get their criminal justice program popped up. And it's not just the use of this simulator machine, but they're looking at a program that I support. It's called a pre-employment program. So to make it quick, right now if you want to become a police officer, you have to be sponsored by a police department. And how you do it is always, it's kind of like a mystery. You know, how do you, it's not really out there. How do I get sponsored by Philmont Police Department to go through the Zone 14 Academy and become a police officer? This program, which is done in other parts of the states, allows someone that's interested in communications to pay their way into a police academy. And what this allows us to do is to recruit better local people, because through tuition assistance programs and things, we can actually get local people to go into the academy. Run the academy, they go through like a college course, and then we pick them up on the last 2 weeks and actually sponsor them and give certain qualifications. So it opens the door to more interest in community, in criminal justice career. It also allows us to have more local input. So I support it wholeheartedly, and I look forward to working with them on a committee that they're just forming to try to get this pre-employment program going. Michael Hopkins can speak better to this. Did a tremendous amount of work with the Greater Hudson Promise neighborhood that is written a large grant to train our police officers understanding the long-term effect of arrests on children and incarcerated parents. So this was part of the mayor's PARP program, and we dutifully are interested in this. Mr. Hoffman did a tremendous amount of work, so we look forward to perhaps getting the grant and starting to train our officers.
What does that mean, you don't handcuff parents in front of the children?
It's about being sensitive to the arrest situation with parent present. And then the entire, I think it probably entails the entire criminal justice system as you go through. So we would look forward to that training. It'll be a good thing for our officers to have this understanding. So hopefully we'll get the grant, and it was a great job by Michael.
A great conversation to have with the public.
Yeah. Yes, I'm good. And very exciting news, we've renewed the bicycle registration program, which was on the books, and we kind of let it go. So we're touching that up again and working with the youth department to get bicycles registered, locate the owners of lost bicycles, and return bicycles. And lastly, we've had some graffiti in some of our pocket parks. So we teamed up with the Hudson High School. Sorry.
Chief, we have a law coming up tonight. We're revoking most of the bicycle registration. Revoke most of it.
Scratch number 7.
I mean, we'll still, you know, recommend registering in terms of, so you know, stolen bicycles and everything, but
whatever you say, Mr. President. we were kind of negligent on this registration.
Well, that's one of the reasons we were just thinking to get rid of it. You might want to stick around for the conversation.
It'd be fine. One last thing.
So, registration might cost money, please, or not?
The registration is not much. It's for the equipment and stuff, so yeah. Like buying the stuff. You run the whole program about 100 years. The last thing is, you know, we have some graffiti in our various pocket parks. We have an idea to work with the art fest. This is Albino at the high school. They had a little art contest. They came up with a winner. Eli Carpenter had made a beautiful mural. The mayor was the America's Got Talent judge. He accepted the mural, which is halfway done in our 300 pocket park because the weather is not completely done. But when Eli finishes it, we'll have an unveiling. And I included in the package some pictures. So it's pretty cool. Oh. And I think there's enough interest at the DA's office and the employees over there to maybe expand it to some of the other parks in town. So for a cost of a couple $100 worth of paint and stuff, it's a good program.
Does the police department still work with the court systems for community service?
They haven't, in other words, they haven't attached a defendant to the police department for anything. You know, they ask for input. Usually not the recipients of the program, you know, the community service. They usually the DPW usually gets it before us or someone. I don't remember us ever getting someone from the courts to serve their hours with us. I think it's happened. I just don't remember.
Any other questions? That's it, right, Chief?
Yes, sir.
Any other questions from the council?
When the last time you found a dog?
We find dogs weekly. We find a lot of dogs. And we do it on a Facebook page, and generally within 10 minutes, it's found. And sometimes it's the same dog. But I'd say, quite all seriousness, once every other week.
Questions from the public.
Hi, John. Hey. How many bags were reported stolen in a year?
None, or very few. Maybe a couple, half dozen. But they usually get abandoned, and they end up in what we call the bulldozer barn. And sometimes I have to go out and clean them out. There's sometimes 25, 30 bikes. And we used to have a program with the prison. When the adults were at the prison, to rehab the bikes, to get them back out. But we only get a handful of stolen bikes thanks to the year.
We get a lot of bicycles, but it's because they ride them down, and then they leave them, and then we pick them up. And that's why it was nice to do the registration, because at least we would can return them instead of staying in the old barn to rot. You know, there's some of them were really nice.
I had two stolen and just never reported.
Exactly, and I think a lot of people...
They're even messing our numbers up.
There used to be a program that the HPD and the city would do raffles for the bikes that got fixed. So we do with
we've done a couple things. When the prison switched from adults,
they
got rid of the bicycle program. Then we tried the youth department. One point we put them on a pallet and sent them to a Ukrainian orphanage, come through the local Ukrainian church. So there's always something more we can do than crush them.
When's the next harvesting going to happen?
I probably got about 20 of them down there right now.
Liz, is that something you could use?
Our bikes get fixed by kids, so it takes a long time to get through them. So we don't have a lot of storage space, but when we run out,
How about to give them away?
Well, what about two?
Malachi?
They're fixed, yeah. And they're not going to be able to deliver.
Now, what about collaborating with the reentry program? Because I know a lot of times individuals come out and they've been in quotation for various jobs.
Or transportation, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
The bikes, these things aren't really cherry.
Wow.
You know, they have to be, we were always afraid of giving them away because some kid could get hurt unless someone went over them if it knows what they're doing to make them safe. So, you know, they're not really great, but occasionally you get one, like when John's bike gets stolen, it's a pretty good one.
One of them is really nice, yeah.
You know, we can take it offline. Okay. Liz, I'm curious to know who kind of blesses the soundness of the bike at the end of the program, because if that's something we can co-opt with existing resources, then I think Malachi has had a good point.
I will tell you there were supply chain issues with bikes. I had to buy a used bike in front. It was like,
you can't
find there's no bikes.
Marketplace.
There's no bikes.
There's a waiting list at Steiner's. But here's the thing, you know, what Dave said was trying to find the original owner, of course, is what we want first. And that's where the registration comes in. But generally, if the bike isn't claimed, it's really not a good bike. Once in a while, we have a really good one. But...
Any other questions for the chief, from the public?
This isn't a question for you, Chief, but to address Tiffany, your question about the grant application with the Department of Justice, it is a collaboration with the Greater Hudson Farms Neighborhood and the Osborne Association, and part of the work plan is to include a public feedback setup so that the part of the development of the training and the public policies would involve public feedback.
Let me
know
you said that.
Well,
I'll
have to get
there
first, but yes.
Okay, thank you, Chief.
Thank you, Councilman.
We can now move on to the resolutions. Our first resolution is appointing a commissioner of deeds. Can I have an introduction, please?
So we can sign here, right?
Yeah, right? Dewan, a second, please. Tiffany. Okay. The second resolution is accepting. Oh, a donation on behalf of the fire department. It's $400 from the Columbia County for the use of the Central Station Firehouse, and a check in the amount of $1,100 from the Hoysrott Company to be directed to the departmental training account as reimbursement for an explorer's expense. Can I have an introduction, please? Dewan. Second, Tiffany. Okay, the third resolution is accepting the Burn JAG grant funding in the amount of $30,000 to be used for police reform measures. I believe this was done through Assemblymember D.D. Barrett's office, and will help with the city implement the police reforms called for by the mayor. Can I have an introduction, please? Ryan. A second, please. Dewan. This is a simple appointment. Rich Volo would like to join the Conservation Advisory Council. An introduction? Shersha? And a second. Ooh, so many up. Who? I think Tiffany had it first. The next resolution authorizes a contract, which is for programming with the youth department, and the contract is attached. I don't know. Is somebody here to tell me what beautiful racket does? Nobody knows? What's that?
I guess
her sister does it.
I'm sorry, what?
It's the program that they offer singing lessons and music lessons.
Oh, it says, yeah, camp songs and youth news.
So I'm actually using that program at the youth department.
Could you be a little louder, please?
Oh.
And identify yourself also, please.
Who are you?
My name is Rebecca Ford. Hello, everyone.
There you go. Thank you. Can I have an introduction, please? Someone. Ryan and Rebecca will be the second. Next is accepting a $25 donation to the youth department from Tony and Richard Koeik. An introduction? Mm-hmm. Tiffany, and a second, please. Excuse me? Yes, it is. And the last resolution, which Liz told us about, is transferring from the youth department budget personnel at the concession stand to more lifeguards. Ryan introduces, and a second, please. Go on. Thank you for that. Now, we have the proposed local law amending the Hudson City Code to create a Department of Social Senior Services. That's on your desk. So I guess we can introduce that tonight, Jeff, or should we wait till the...
I thought we introduced it last
time. Yeah, we did. So we just have to...
There, so
yeah. Sits on your desk, and we'll wait till the next meeting. I don't have the other law in front of me. Here we go. And this, as I mentioned earlier, is a local law amending Chapter 78 of the Code to concerning bicycle registrations. I had an email, actually three of us had an email, from a constituent in the first ward pointing out the problems with our bike code and both its enforcement and the other problems related to it. So we decided, or I should say, I decided to put forth this amendment of the law that removes most of the penalties involved and certainly doesn't make it unlawful to ride an unregistered bike. Rebecca.
So you're not proposing, or are you proposing doing away with the whole registration program? Or
no, you can still register your bike. It's just not mandatory.
Bike, there just isn't
just not mandatory.
Not registering. That's cool, because
I like the idea of if there is a registered, like in John's case, right, it happens to get stolen, these submissions on the file.
This kind of eliminates everything, but we then can create a
I guess the question, if you want to have like a voluntary registry where, you know, so people can register and keep a record at the HPD. I don't know if you'd have to do it by law or not. I have to think about it. It could simply be a resolution authorizing the police department to have a voluntary registration program that wouldn't have any penalties or anything like that, but so they could come to and, you know, create a database with you.
It seems like it would be smarter to not totally dismantle the existing program, but just remove.
Well, I'd suggest between now and next week, maybe should read the code to see what we're getting rid of, okay? Because it's
right
not.
Right now it is kind of, especially if it hasn't been used for a long time, it's a mandatory requirement with the authority for the city council to set a fee for registrations. I'm not sure it ever has or has one. And it has a penalty provision, very modest, of if you don't have a registration.
So since this came rather late today, let's read it, and then we can dig down into the details at our next meeting. In the meantime, can I get an introduction?
Well, if somebody on registration and he's going to get fined or anything, that's what they're going
to. No, that's what we're getting rid of.
My only exception of the rule is the fact that if you can actually get bicycle insurance, if you were registered.
Well, that would work in an optional program too.
Yeah, if there's an election, you get them.
Okay. In the meantime, an introduction. Ryan and Dewan. And yes, we'll discuss it further at our next meeting since we won't be voting on it yet. Okay.
To bring this up, but maybe just something for next month's meeting when Mark Harris is here. But I started walking up the street a lot this in the month, and I noticed in the pocket parks a lot of dog poop. Maybe you can consider putting those stands that we have through down the street, the dog poop stands with the bags, maybe in the pocket parks.
Mm-hmm. Don't I think some of them have it, don't they? Let's identify which ones don't have it, and then we'll ask Rob to put them out. Before we move along, just remind everybody who did introduce or second a resolution, please come up and sign the resolutions before you leave. But before that, let's open up the meeting to new business from the council, and then we'll go to the public. Oh, I know what I want to tell you before we do that. We're establishing another ad hoc committee on, and it's looking at you that made me think of it, on the housing trust fund. And I think, though, we're going to have to work probably with HCDPA on this. But in any case, we'll figure this out, how to go forward with it. And anybody who's interested in joining it, please send me an email, and we'll get that going probably, as soon as possible. So, council members, Tiffany?
There will be an event at the waterfront, July 24th and 27th. Sponsored by the Basilica, hosted by the Black Entrepreneur Market. Last year, the event took place at the waterfront, and it was successful. Even with COVID, at the height of COVID, and with the restrictions, we had about 7 vendors, and everyone did well, and did well beyond the event at the waterfront.
There's a website called blackentrepreneurmarket.org. So if you know anybody that's interested or would like to become a vendor, they can go on the website and apply through email. And if anyone is interested in volunteering their services to support entrepreneurs, please also reach out to the website.
You said it's on the 24th?
On the 24th. And there will be a series of three, but the first one is July 24th.
And how frequent will
there
be
in
August?
One in August, one in September, so the next one will be August 7th. Also on a Saturday. I can't remember the date for the one in September off my head, but they are on the city's calendar.
Thank you. Anyone else from the council? Before I go to the audience, we are working, and by we, I mean myself and Michael Hoffman and Shaheem, to set up a system that might or will incorporate what is the best of Zoom, as we all discovered during the pandemic. We need equipment that we don't have yet, so we need an authorization to get that at some point. And for the time being, we will certainly try to make the visual aspect of our meeting accessible to everyone. And then perhaps, if it works out, people can remotely participate. But not the council, of course, and not the department heads, I might add. Chief, he's the only one here. I don't have, sorry, go ahead.
I would make a suggestion, possibly, before COVID, we had Danny Dell that was recording. I know we cannot, but we had Danny Dell that would record and post it on YouTube, so the residents, I know we're looking to do something more live so we can have someone would have to control that as well to know who's in their hand in that digital world.
Right.
But for the meantime, maybe reaching out to Dan to either renting his equipment, using his equipment to still record in that manner until something is figured out to do it with a live stream.
Well, I'll approach Dan, but he made it pretty clear a year or so ago that he is not able to do it anymore.
I didn't say Dan.
Oh,
I
thought you said
his equipment.
His
we
equipment. By the way, his equipment. We have Shaheem. His equipment is.
It's a camcorder. Just
I know,
YouTube,
but it's right.
So we can figure something out for
right.
Live stream.
Well, I will look into that, but I hope that we have something better in place by our next meeting. No, I'm not this July meeting, but by August, and it will be live, and it will be on streamed on YouTube. And permanently there. Anybody else from the council first? Yes, Dominic.
Has there been any movement to who's going to take over the tourism?
I'm sorry, I can't.
The tourism?
What about it?
The chairman, who's going to take over that?
For the time being, since I go to those meetings anyway, I'll run those meetings for them.
Doesn't the tourism board get to choose who's the chair?
No, it's actually. By
the
chairman of the finance committee, which does not exist at present. So, I mean, if you'd like to.
I thought it was economic development.
Well, read the code. I think it's pretty much finance, but you might be right. I'm not sure.
Because Rich Vogel initially, he was the chairman of economic, he was the chairman of finance.
Well, look it up right now.
Work on right now.
But again, since there's no committee, it's somewhat of a moot point. Anyone from the public? Anyone in the public have questions or comments? As we wait, which committee was it, Jeff?
Send us an email tomorrow.
Okay, it was Chair of Economic Development.
Second. We got a motion to adjourn and a second.
Oh, I just said it was the Economic Development.
Okay.
So, motion, all in, sorry. All in favor of adjourning, please.
No, you can say it.
All, wait, wait, you don't want to adjourn?
What?
Wait, I thought there was a motion to adjourn.
You said the motion.
Whatever. Okay. Dominic is getting married this weekend.
It's a shotgun wedding. She purchased a shotgun. So no choice.
Okay.
I hope that's not recorded.
It is. And I will be sending it to her. So there was a motion and a second to adjourn. All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? This meeting is over.